How are organizations investing in their future? Many are choosing to invest in their people in the same way they invest in new equipment, facilities, and IT systems. That is one of the wisest investments you can make. How do you determine training needs? Turn to the award-winning professionals at Taro International for a complimentary needs assessment and gap analysis. Visit taro.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Ro from the Taro team.
When you think about AARP, you no doubt think about aging. In reality, AARP Iowa is all about family. From lifting up family caregiving concerns to the Iowa legislature, to providing reliable information on fraud, to supporting art and culture, AARP is all about creating a better state for all of us. Learn more and get connected with the real possibilities of AARP Iowa. Google AARP Iowa and let's get started with you and your family. AARP Iowa, we're really about possibilities. Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Aurion, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits. AUREON.com. Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealEstateConcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you have clicked through. We are broadcasting all week long from the Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives. And this is a group of people that come from all over the United States and at least, I counted maybe 12 foreign countries. And these are chamber types that come to learn and network and then share best practices. And we are with Eric Williams, and Eric happens to be the Vail Valley Partnership Community Development Officer. What the heck does that mean?
Yeah, no, I got a long business card, don't I?
It goes over the other side.
It's funny that I've had this job for a year and a half now, and my parents still ask me,
what
is it that you do? Yeah. I work in community development at Vail Valley Partnership. I'm honored and lucky to live in a really cool place where there are a lot of different issues based on our rural resort community. And so we all have little taglines. We have a storyteller who's our marketing person. We have our the one who connects everything. I kind of call our jockstrap. I don't know if that's allowed on the radio.
Of course it is.
but my tagline is big picture. So if there are big items in the community that need working on that our board has seen and that are developing, then I attack those in whatever way the chamber can.
All right, let's talk about some of those things, because I think even though you're from Vail, Colorado, I think we may have some very similar issues here in the greater Des Moines and Iowa and Midwest area. When we talk about community development, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Okay,
myself.
Well, a year and a half in, man.
The community development is, we are first and foremost here to serve our business community. I took this job and had a background in ministry before this, and I remember walking around with the CEO. We took a walk for my job, my final job interview at one point. And I said, do I get to help people in this job? And he said, see it through a different lens. He said, see it through the lens of you get to help businesses. And when you do help businesses, it's kind of that all ships rise with the tide mentality, that you do get to help people. And so we really do kind of attack the big issues. We have a fantastic board. All of our C-level executives from our major corporations are a part of our board, and they have developed a plan for us to attack. So I've said attack like four different times on the radio. I'm
serious.
Really aggressive this morning. It's the coffee.
Coffee, yeah.
Definitely. We work on issues like transportation. It's a difficult thing in our valley to be able to get people to find places to park. We only have a certain amount of area that we're able to use. We work on housing. We work on broadband to some of our more rural communities. And then we work on workforce, which, like you said, this
Everybody.
Is one of the struggles that Des Moines shares, but I think all those 12 countries you mentioned earlier share these same struggles.
Yeah, it certainly is. We're talking with Eric Williams. He's the Vail. Take two.
That's me.
Eric Williams, the Vail Valley Partnership Community Development Officer. All right, let's talk about those issues.
Okay.
One of the things that, the Des Moines area and the Greater Des Moines Partnership are always raising the flag and saying, oh, what a wonderful place this area is to live and work. And it is.
Yeah.
It really is. However, we do have some other underlying issues that the partnership and others are attempting to work at. And it really gets interesting because many of these organizations that are working on, so for example, housing, are trying to go, okay, what are we doing? Where we have, within a stone's throw of our broadcast area here, we'll have families that are paying 45 to 55% of their income on a place to live.
We share some of those issues as well. Obviously, land's the only thing that they're not making more of,
right,
in the Vail Valley, and we have a limited amount of space. And so we're having to think very creatively if we want our community to remain. So I live in a rural resort community, which is different from rural ag or different from all these different places, because we run the risk in 10, 15, 20 years of just having a very pretty resort, and everybody lives really far away, and they drive in to be a part of that. And maybe that's going to happen, and that has happened in different resort communities, but there's also this sense of Vail's a real town with real, and I consider myself, you
real
and I were
people.
Joking about this, kind of a real person. I'm a father of three. I love the school district. I love the place that I live, and I live there because of the quality of life. I live there because I walk out of my door at night, and I can be in the hills 4 minutes from my front door, and I can see the Milky Way shining like a belt across the sky. I absolutely adore where I live, and I know that other people do as well. And so how do we make it still work for...
How do you make it sustainable for regular people?
For those regular people.
People that live there.
Because, you do have the people like... Ross Perot had a house in town for years, and that's the stigma that comes with talking about Vail, Colorado. I joked when I led a session yesterday, and I the first question people ask you in Vail, Colorado is, how many rooms in your mansion? And I say, not very many, but it's my little mansion that I get to live in. It's a different place with different struggles, but the partnership where I work really sees ourselves as, one of the things that my CEO says all the time is, if not us, who? So we try to tackle those bigger issues in whatever way that we can.
Well, let's talk about housing for a moment, and how are you tackling, and we may be able to learn something from you.
So
how are you tackling
We're
that?
Working very closely with the county. And like I said, the county housing director happens to be my wife, which
there
is a lovely way to schedule meetings. Every meeting I can schedule with her. But one of the things that we saw is that we consider ourselves the connectors of the community at the partnership. And so what we saw is that there was a disconnect in between the different steps in housing. So when we chased after this, we've been helping and supporting for years, obviously, but we really chased after this 2 years ago. And we said, let's kind of try to fill in those gaps. And so we held a series of meetings, and we deep dived into public-private partnerships. And we went after the legalities of this, and we went after water rights. And we started to get the right people in the room having those conversations. And what this has evolved, we didn't know where it was going to go, which is kind of the fun thing. I have a very forward-thinking CEO who says, let's try as hard as we can, and then we'll see where it goes. And we didn't have an end game with this, but where it's evolved to is this group of people got to know each other in a different way. And we had 100 people at a series of different meetings, each and every time. And this group of people, now that they know each other, we've built a task force off of that. So when a developer comes into town and says, How do I navigate this? We say, well, come to our task force, and we'll introduce you to this and this and this and this, and you can figure out all the pieces along the way. And our community realizes, and our forward-thinking county, again, with my wife at the helm, I really hope she's listening, because I'm saying so many nice things. But with my wife at the helm, it's been fun to see the different creative ways that they're working with developers and trying to work with deed restrictions or trying to work with 99-year land leases or whatever it may be, to put people in houses, because there's people in couches, there's three generations living in trailers, like you say, a stone's throw away from our beautiful ski mountain and the gigantic mansions that are there as well.
Yeah, and that is an issue. So are you assisting people, and I know that you're the conduit for a lot of these things.
Yes.
So public housing, market rate housing, getting developers, a block of land in Vail must be just astronomically
high. It's astronomical.
High. So how do you make that cash flow?
Yeah, that's, the money is not one of the pieces. We're not transactional at the chamber. And so that's one of the pieces where we'll connect them, but we think creatively. We think about different tax abatements for this, and we work with the county in trying to be able to put the right people together. If there are issues with the state legislature and, codes and things that need to be switched, then we've got the ear of them as well at the partnership. And so different builders will come to us, and we will take it to our task force and then go work with the state legislature.
Well, economically, we just look at this for a second.
Yeah.
As you indicated, if people live far away and they just come there to visit – that doesn't do much for the local economy. I mean, it does a lot for, they call it clean money, and that's always good. However, people still have to pick up the trash, and people still have to work in retail, and people still have to work in food service, and people still have to work in jobs,
yes.
Teachers.
Chamber executives?
Hey, yeah, those guys. So it's incredible. All right, so we touched on housing. What about livable wages? What about those types of things? Are you also in there?
We're working on that. You know, my main focus in this last little bit, if I can steer the conversation
sure.
a little bit a different direction, is one of the things I've been working on very hard and what I was honored to come here to Des Moines and present on was I'm working on youth apprenticeships. We're working on the pipeline of our workforce, and that's an issue that all of our 12 countries and our hundreds of chamber execs share as well. How do I fix our leaky pipeline? How do I get jobs for those people that are sustainable, that can pull off, you know, paying rent or buying a house in Vail, and not have them be
long-term.
Three generations and trailers and things like that? So I was lucky enough to go to Switzerland last year, and study
Vail, Switzerland. You know,
I see now I'm playing into the stigma, aren't I? We studied in depth the German and the Swiss model of vocational education training, and so we are building youth apprenticeships, which start their junior year in high school, 3-year apprenticeships, and the goal, which we're meeting, is that they're going to finish a 3-year apprenticeship with a $40,000 to $50,000 job and some sort of middle management level. And it's unbelievable how the business community has wrapped their arms around
sure.
us. We've heard all these statistics, but in the next 8 to 10 years, we're going to lose 60% or so of our trade-based labor due to the way that baby boomers are retiring, and businesses are wondering, how am I going to backfill this? And especially in our community, because how are we going to get someone to move into town and pay $8 for a gallon of milk and live in this place and be able to hold down a normal job? It's nearly impossible. I shouldn't say that. People do it, but, you know, it's tough.
I should point you in the direction of a STEM manufacturing place here in the greater Des Moines metro. It's called AccuMold.
Okay.
And at AccuMold, Roger Hargis, who is the president and CEO 11 years ago, started this in the high schools and has a partnership with the high school as well as the local community college, where they offer these intern-type jobs to people. And once they are there for a couple of years, they'll say, hey, we'll also pay for your education, and you got a job when you get out.
Yeah.
11 years ago.
Yeah.
So that was, and so I asked him during an interview, I said, so Roger, how's this working? He goes, we don't have an issue in our pipeline any longer.
Ah, that's incredible. And there are pockets around the country that are really working on this. There's a pocket in New Jersey. I met a gentleman named Donnie yesterday from Western Alabama Works, and he talked to me about his programs. It's working in Western Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They're doing some work. It's working in Washington State. There are little pockets around the country, I think, where people are realizing that our education system that we have relied on for so many years is fundamentally broken. And I'm not necessarily telling kids don't go to college, but it's not for every kid out there.
Right.
And it's not necessarily the best choice for a lot of kids out there. So we're trying, I like to call my program an options multiplier. It doesn't mean that they can't go to school. It doesn't mean they can't finish their education. But when they do come out of the program that I'm talking about, we're working in partnership with a group called CareerWise, is that 3-year partnership, they'll come out with their high school degree. They'll come out with 3/4 of a bachelor's degree because they're earning credit while they're in the job site. They'll come out with about $40,000 or so of a wage because they're getting paid as a new employee during these 3 years. And they come out with the soft skills that we just don't teach in schools anymore.
That's so true. His name is Eric Williams, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking about the Vail Valley Partnership. He is the Community Development Director, and you got a big job, man. Congratulations.
We've got some work to do, and that's why it's such a treat to be here at ACCE in Des Moines, because, like I said, I met Donnie from Alabama yesterday and learned from him. I met Marianne from Glenwood Springs. I meet all these different people, and we take little pieces, and we try and see what works in our community.
Right.
Love your community, and I you guys are doing some incredible work here as well. Spent a lot of time with Jay, and this is another one of those forward-thinking places. Like I said, my background's in ministry, and I'd really love come to a place like this because it seems like everybody has that same mindset of others first.
Well, it is I think it's oftentimes in the water. We've got some issues we have to correct. But at least we're recognizing those things.
We're working on the water, too.
Yeah, I bet you are. Eric Williams, ladies and gentlemen, Vail Valley Partnership. Thanks so much. Thanks. I don't know. It's really early, man.
We'll cut that, yeah. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it.